We're going to start off in 1 John chapter 4. My dad asked me to teach on the love of God, which is a good subject, very broad, very simple, and very exciting. So we're going to take a look at, you know, the love of God, obviously, and some things that he's given to us because of his love. So in 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So right there, it's pretty simple. And it says that, again, talking about God, he is love. You know, where love comes from, it's God. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. He created us, created, you know, this love that he has for us. Verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So here it's saying, you know, what God did for us, he loved us so much, he sent his Son into the world so that we could have our sins covered. And what to do with that, we should love one another, you know. Verse 12, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit," which is of love. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." That's a good thing to have, God dwelling in you, because God is love. So, I mean, if you want to have a good life, like, I always think, times that I'm the happiest, when you have that, like, kind of, like, buzz feeling going on, you're just, like, in this mood, and you know, everyone you're seeing, it's just a real loving relationship. You're very happy to see people, you're blessed to see them, you're not, you know, like, upset to be around them, because of that love which we have because of God. He gave it to us. It's his love in us, and we're to love each other with it. What verse was I on? 16. Okay. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. It says it again. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." When I was preparing for my teaching, I wanted to see what the world defined love as. So I went on Google and I searched how to find love. It just came up with all these like dating websites and stuff. And I was thinking, I was like, that's not like, you know, if you really had no idea what to, like, you know, you're in your life, you don't have the word and you're trying to find love, you go online and look, it's like you're really not gonna do too well. Like, I don't know. But in verse 17 it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." We're fine. We know, because what it says earlier, how God sent his Son Jesus into the world to save us, you know, we, when the day of judgment comes, we're going to be fine. We're set. We're going to heaven. We know that. We have such a great gift from God because of his love. It says that we may have boldness, to be bold in it. Love is not something that's weak or feeble. It's something that is bold. It's in your face, but at the same time, it's warm and comforting, you know? It's loud and it's, you know, exciting, but it's still, you know, it's not abrasive. It's very, you know, it's just, it's kind, it's gentle. It's a beautiful thing. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And this is funny, I have an uncle, like somehow twice removed, something like that, I don't know. But he's about 6 years old, and he never wanted to get married because he was fearful that he would get divorced. So he's kind of been like, kind of like a keep to himself guy his whole life because of this fear he had. So he kind of, you know, not that it's wrong to not get married or whatever, but he, for him personally, he missed out on having a loving relationship because of his fear. and says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And that perfect love is from God. And we go back to the beginning of here and it says, God is love. It all stems from God. It's this beautiful love that we have from God. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So pretty simple there, Love each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're here to love each other. 1 Peter. Take a look at something that God gave us. Chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God, and there's a reason why it says blessed. Continue in the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And to me, that's something I think about this honestly every day. I wake up, whether it's work or it's a weekend, whatever, it's like my first thought is, okay, I woke up, I'm here on earth, but more importantly, I'm going to heaven. That's honest, I think about that all the time, every day. Just, the things you do on earth, great, whatever, but what we have in eternity, I still can't wrap my head around it. First of all, the concept of eternity. It says it fadeth not. It's not something, our life, our physical lives, if we are here long enough, to live a full life before Christ comes back, your physical body perishes. It fades. It's not something that's going to be around forever, like it says here, eternity. And this is something that was given to us. Which according to his abundant mercy hath he begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that's a pretty cool gift. If you love somebody, you might give them you might get a reservation at a nice, if I went to bless Donnie, I might get a reservation at a nice, place, or get him a nice TV, 56-inch TV. That's a good gift. Or if you really love somebody, you might get them, some jewelry or diamond ring. Those are gifts that we give to each other, and it's great because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love each other and bless each other, and that's, what God wants us to do. But he's given us life eternal in heaven, that's his home. My parents are away, and Donnie and Terry have been gracious enough to let me stay here. And, that's a gift that I get to receive, because I get to be blessed to stay here, and I have a place to stay. I don't have to be outside in this weather. I have a place to sleep, food to eat, all that. But this is God's home, heaven, and he's giving it to us. We have a place there, which is really something a lot to think about. Ephesians 1. Chapter 1. And Grace is moving in with her mom. We got people moving in together. That's, when you decide to live with someone, that can be a very big decision, because you have to, you're with them. You live together, you gotta get along, If you don't get along, it usually doesn't work out. And we'll see here, God chooses us to be with him. He must like us enough to let us live with him. First one, Paul, an apostle. Oh no, first three, sorry. Blessed be the God and Father. Did I just go over this?
No. But Peter too started.
Peter started this way.
Right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ, by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That last part, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's something that he did on his own. Wasn't like, crap, I made him. I got to keep him. You know? It was like, this is something that he wanted. Which is, every time I read, you know, either Ephesians or anything like that where it talks about what we have in heaven, like it says we're blessed, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What we have, it's just, like, you know, like, it's funny because, like, I work, I try to save up my money, put in the stock market, whatever, because I want to get a house eventually. And I'm like, that's my goal right now as far as, like, what to do in life, get a house. And it's like, it's funny because you put a certain amount of time and energy and your thoughts into it, and it can be exciting, or, you know, if you're buying a car, whatever, it's like you want to do something, then it's like you just kind of think, like, okay, then I'll be in heaven, like... Like, yeah, I don't know. It's funny, but at the same time, it's a reality that we have to look to, because, you know, it makes life a lot easier, because you don't have to worry about, you know, what am I going to do when I'm getting older, you know, like, you have this comfort that's there, it's, you know, you're saved, you know, believe in Jesus Christ, and you're saved, you know, it's really simple, and it's awesome what God's done for us. Chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's kind of a chunk of change right there. But basically, you know, we all were, you know, nobody was perfect except for Jesus Christ. We all did something, you know, whether you killed an ant with the glass or whatever, or whatever. You know, sin is sin. We all went through that, but we're saved because, you know, what Christ did. You know, God sent him that we could be saved. And it says, for by grace you are saved, not of works. You know, we didn't, there's nothing we could do. And I was in Pennsylvania last weekend, Terry. Well, not, she, we went out there. Anyways, I went to a team fellowship, and during the manifestations, I forget word by word, but someone said, know that there's nothing you could do to save yourselves. It was through Christ that you're saved. And I was like, yeah. You know, like, what am I going to do? Like, go donate on my whatever? Go work at a library 40 hours a week, and that's going to get me there? No. It's because of what Christ did, you know? And the love that's put behind that on both parts, you know? And, you know, you can read the gospel, you can read through it, and it talks about, you know, how God loved the world, they sent his son. That's great, you know? Like, that's, I mean, I couldn't imagine doing something like that, you know, having to give that up to, you know, save the world. But then again, not only God, but both parts, Jesus Christ too. That's, and he was a man, a lot to go through as far as, you know, okay, you're born, you learn about all this, and then you kind of realize, yeah, you're going to have to go through getting crucified and all that, you know. That's not an easy thing to take. But in 1 John, and another point I want to make on that is, we did nothing to deserve that. You know, it's not like, we ourselves were so great that God said, okay, you know, because of what you did, I can see that, you know, you really deserve to be up here, you know? And it's not to a select few that this was made available. It's to anybody who believes on it. And that's love, you know? It's one thing, you know, if I got Donnie a gift, there'd be some love behind it, but then, like, what about everybody else, you know? It's just to Donnie. But God gives it to everybody, you know? It's really, it's awesome. 1 John 3. First one, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now my dad's a pretty good guy, I get along with him well, but to think that I'm a son of God, that's cool. My dad made houses. But God made the earth, the heavens. It just kind of puts things into perspective to know, you know. I mean, I personally came from a great family. You know, I wasn't treated badly growing up. I don't have this tragic story. But there are people out there that really don't have, you know, family as far as, like, you can't call up your uncle, your mom, or your brothers, whatever. It's just not available because they don't have it. But to know that even if you don't really have a physical family that's there, you have, you know, first of all, the family of believers, but you have God as a father. You know, you're not alone in life, because you always hear these stories of people who go through these tragic things, and yeah, you can sympathize with them, but they're still, you're not alone. You know, you have God. You know, it's just a cool thing. Have a good friend as your dad. Verse 13. This verse is funny to me. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Like, okay, you know, there's going to be people that may not like you for who you are or for whatever. Don't worry about it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, and to me, this kind of communicates, it's like, if you're not going to be loving and kind to each other, and what's the point of even sharing your life with someone, you know? Because it's not gonna profit. It's just gonna be. It's almost. It's just like it says here: he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's just. It's ugly to be around someone who doesn't want to be loving, or, you know, have a love for you. Now, if they don't know the love of God, they don't have the love of God. That's one thing you can, you know, work with that. But there's just some people who just don't want it. But we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love them right now. Verse 16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, when he's talking about he laid down his life, that's talking about Christ. I mean, I was thinking when I first went over this verse, would I be able to just die for someone else? You know, like, you kind of think about that, and, you know, for any one person in the world, would you be able to say, okay, I'll sacrifice my life for you? You know, just something to kind of think about, and the love that would be put behind that. Not that we have to do that, but just something to kind of think about, and the truth and reality that someone actually did that, you know, for us. Where is that? Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Again, let's, you know, take care of each other, basically. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And again, when I started off in 1 John, it was talking about how, you know, God dwells in us, and we in him, and God is love. And here again it says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. We dwell in God, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And I forget exactly where it is, but it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah, power and of love and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spirit of love. You know, we have that spirit of God that's in us. We have the love of God in us. And it says earlier in here, 20 and 21, basically God knows our hearts. You know, he knows, you know, what it is that's going on in it, because he's in us. He has his spirit in us. It's his love that we have to manifest to each other, to, you know, show each other. Lamentations, which is right after Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Ezekiel comes after Lamentations, if you're going backwards, and hit Ezekiel. You're on the way. It's a cool name, too. Ezekiel. In chapter 3, and this verse is kind of funny to me, just because, like I said, you know, just thinking about what we have, you know, first of all, Christ as our Savior, and then a place in heaven, you know. Sometimes the whole New Testament is about Christ and what he did, but sometimes, like, when I'm thinking about it, I kind of put that aside, and I'm like, okay, great, I understand that, and then I think about myself, and it's like, I get to go to heaven, like, because of what Christ did, you know? It's just, it's beautiful. Anyways, in verse, what is it, 39. Wherefore doth a living man complain? You're alive, and you know what God's given. What do you got to complain about? Seriously. What is it? A man for the punishment of his sins? What punishment? What, you know, where does it say in the Word that when you sin, you have this great punishment? It doesn't. Our sins are taken care of. I just think that's really funny. Like, what are you going to complain about? Okay, like, you know, there's nothing to complain about, really. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Now, give your life to God, because first of all, he made our lives, and then he gave us such amazing things in heaven and in earth, too, you know? It's not like we live bad lives here on earth, you know? The devil may be the god of this world, and there may be trials and tribulations and stuff like that, but we don't live bad lives. I don't think any of us can say that we have a bad life, you know? Maybe you've had a time in your life where it's not been the best, but, you know, because of what we have in the Word and because of what we have through, you know, Christ, through God, we're blessed. You know, what are we going to complain about? There's nothing. John, chapter 3. I'm sure a lot of you know this one. For God, oh, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to me, that's still something that I can't really completely get a grip on, everlasting life. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I know it's going to happen, I know it's going to be awesome, but I don't understand. To what end? You know, there is no end. It's just, and there's no hurt in it either. There's no pain. It's just life with God in heaven. You know, not even on the earth. You know, I'm happy to live here. You know, I like it. It's nice. But just think that there's gonna be something better, and there's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna have to worry about paying your taxes or, brushing your teeth. probably still, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, you're not going to have to be worried. There's not going to be those, you know, you wake up too late, you get that, like, oh, I'm late feeling. There's, you know, nothing. There's not going to be mean words. There's not going to be anything bad, and it's just going to, it's going to be awesome. And then here, I want to take a look in 2 Samuel. And this is an example of something that God did specifically for one person. And if you kind of put yourself in, let's talk about David, his shoes, you know, where he was, when he lived, what he did, and then what God did for him, just kind of, it's cool. A little background on David. David was a very interesting man. If you read through, you know, Samuel, those books, and the books of the Kings, basically, it describes a lot. But one thing that sticks out to me, as far as, you know, we're forgiven and how forgiving God is and loving, there's a record where David, he talks about when he sees Bathsheba bathing on the roof, and that was someone else's wife. Now, David was the king. So basically what he does is he sends for the wife's husband and basically tells one of his men to put this guy in the front of the hottest battle. So he gets killed because he wanted the wife, because he ended up got her pregnant. It was a whole mess. Anyways, wasn't you know, pleasing in the sight of God. But as it goes on, you read in chapter 7, God is very loving and he is very forgiving. And something that he did for David, and this is just, you know, this is before Christ. So, you know, they knew that there was going to be a coming Savior, and to them that's like what they looked forward to. Kind of like how we just look forward to, you know, heaven, basically. You know, like, what else we have to do? This is what they look forward to. And to be David in this scenario would just be like, wow, like, because it talks about how God was going to make the Christ son come from David's seed. In verse 12, it says, "And when the days thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom," which is heaven. Talking about Christ. "He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." So that's God talking to David, saying, you know, the Christ line is going to come from you. You're the start. In Acts 2, this is after Christ has come. Well, not after he's come back, but when he was on earth. In chapter 2, verse 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch of David." Patriarch means fatherhood. "That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." So that's just showing how, you know, God fulfilled exactly what it was they said. You know, so I mean, to think of that, you know, to be David in that situation, they're knowing that he was going to have, from his seed, the Savior of the world, you know, just... I remember one time I saw on it was like some TV show talking about parents of celebrities, and they interview them, like, you know, like, how does it feel to have your sons of, you know, playing shows everywhere, blah, 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 like, how does it feel? I just kind of think, like, kind of in a way it is and isn't, but it's like David's like the son of like the biggest, like, you know, or the father, you know what I mean, like, comes from him, like, you know, that's quite an honor, that's quite a great gift that God gave to him. And in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and this is an exhortation to us, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." You know, so I mean, we have God's love, as we learned. You know, we dwell in God, he dwells in us, God is love. You know, so we have the spirit of love in us. We're to love each other with that, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. So that's just something I wanted to share.
Great.